So we want to look at a Mishnah here, which is very relevant, about the status of women in mitzvahs in general. It's in Brachos on Daf Chof Amid Aleph. The Mishnah reads as follows. Noshim va'avodim. Avodim have the same halach as Isha, because that's called a Hekesh Lola, which we equate the status of a Noshim and Avodim. Pturim mikriyat shma. They don't have to recite Kriyat Shma. Uminat tefillin. They don't have to wear tefillin. V'chayov b'tefila. But they have to daven. Uve mezuzah. Uve birkas hamazon. So the Gemara says right away, Kriyat Shma pshita. The Gemara thinks it's simple that women should be exempt from Kriyat Shma. Why do you think women are exempt from Kriyat Shma?
So I'll say Shazman Grom.
Excellent. Why is it Zman Grom? Is there any time in which I have to read Kriyat Shma? Is it limited in time?
Until whenever you want, but it has to be done by a certain time.
Right. And that's based on the pasuk b'shalbucha uvkumecha, correct? So b'shalbucha means not when you go to sleep, but when most people go to sleep. And uvkumecha means when most people wake up. So for example, if I would want to read Kriyat Shma now at noontime, I'm in trouble because it's no longer b'kumecha. Even who are the late wakers? Do you remember who those are?
Me this morning.
The B'nai Malachim, it says the princesses are the ones who get up the latest. But does anybody know, even when they get up, what's the latest time for Kriyat Shema in the morning?
Third time of the day.
Correct, the third hour of the day. So we divide the day into Shol Zmanios, and then we calculate the third hour from daybreak, and then we figure that Kriyat Shema is no longer possible then. That makes it a time-bound mitzvah. So that's called the B'shalbucha of Kumecha. Women are exempt from Kriyat Shema. That itself, by the way, is a complicated business because Kriyat Shema has two parts to it. One is Kriyas HaParshios, so you have to read the three parshios of Kriyat Shema. And the other is what? What's the ultimate goal? Correct. And what's the goal of this whole kit and caboodle, the whole package deal which we call Kriyat Shema? It's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
You have to accept upon yourself the sovereign rulership of God. And we do so in three parashas. The first parasha represents the Achdus of Hashem. God is one. And we dedicate ourselves totally to that oneness of God. The second parasha is Kiyum HaMitzvos, Vayim Shamoa, that has within it a commitment on our part to do mitzvahs. And finally, the last parasha is called the parasha of Tzitzis. That combines L'man Tizkar, that you should remember all the mitzvahs, and you should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim is when we accepted upon ourselves Avdus of Hashem, we were committed and subjugated ourselves to Hashem. So all this together combines to form one entity which we call Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. So in a sense, the Kriya of the Parsha is only part of the mitzvah. For example, you can have a Kriya where you fulfill the mitzvah without Kavanah. You don't even have to have intention because we paskin mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavanah. But in Kriyat Shema, everybody agrees that at least for the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael, you have to have kavanah. Why is that?
Because
that's all. Awesome.
Correct, because the essence of the mitzvah is not just the Kriya. That the mitzvah doesn't exhaust itself in the mechanical act of reading and reciting the three parashas. You have to go beyond that into an inner state of being, which is a commitment called Kabbal Sol Malchus Shemayim. That requires kavanah. So when we say that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, which dimension of Kriyat Shema should we exempt women from?
The Kriya.
The Kriya itself, because that's limited in time. But it could be the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim element might be 24/7. I mean, that's something that we want to think about. What do you say?
At which point, how would it be manifested?
So it may be that a woman should recite Kriyat Shema once a day. I don't care what time she recites it. And it could be she doesn't have to read all three parashas, but she may have a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, no less than a man. But what about tefillah? The Mishnah says that a woman is exempt from Kriyat Shema, also from tefillin. Why tefillin? Correct. And an evid is always hukash le'isha, because time-bound mitzvahs don't apply to avodim. Now, why is tefillin a time-bound mitzvah?
What is that hekesh?
Can I put on tefillin now?
No, because it has to be
No, you can put on tefillin the whole day, but not
for the mitzvah with the
at night. Since Lila loves man tefillin, And for the same reason, we'll see that women are exempt from tzitzis, because we paskin laila lavzman tzitzis. We don't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis at night, which is a complicated issue in itself, because you have a begin yom, maybe you chayv in tzitzis at laila, but at least a begin laila is certainly not chayv in tzitzis. And in the case of tefillin is only by day and not by night. What other time period is excluded from the mitzvah of tefillin, which would also make its mind grown? Shabbos. There's no tefillin on Shabbos. Shabbos is an os, and tefillin is an os. So the os of tefillin is replaced, so to speak, by the os of Shabbos. And therefore, tefillin, by definition, is a circumscribed, time-bound mitzvah. And therefore, women are exempt from tefillin.
Then why wouldn't they be exempt from Shabbos? At least from
Zachor. Oh, excellent. So Shabbos has two dimensions to it. It has the positive dimension and the negative dimension. The positive dimension is certainly time-bound. The negative dimension, it doesn't make a difference if it's time-bound. For example, who can give me an example of a time-bound los haseh? And women are going to be included even though it's limited in time. It's on Pesach, for example. Chametz, right? Is a woman allowed to eat chametz on Pesach? No. Because hukshu noshim la'noshim l'chol avero shebetor. As far as all the averos the los haseh is, there's no difference between what? Between zman groma and lo zman groma. Women are included in all of them.
So does that mean onik Shabbos?
Oh, but what about Onik Shabbos? Is a woman included in Onik Shabbos? Or what would be a more profound mitzvah of Shabbos?
Kiddush.
We have like a Mishnah, you have Onik Shabbos. Kiddush, excellent. Kiddush is Doraisa according to the Rambam. The Rambam derives Kiddush from the mitzvah of Zachar as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. If we exempt women under the law of Zman Groma, then women don't have the obligation to make Kiddush. Okay, so that's something we have to discuss tonight. Today, I should say, in the context of Hukshu, there's a hekesh between Shamar, which is the losase of Shabbos, the Isur Malach of Shabbos, and Zachar, the positive command of Shabbos. But now I want to discuss with you tefillah. It says chayovim b'tefillah. Well, what about tefillah? Would you say that tefillah is a mitzvah seishas man groma? Is there a time-bound element in tefillah?
For men it is.
Why?
Because you have zmani.
Correct, you have zmani tefillah. But here we have to differentiate between tefillah d'oraisa and tefillah d'rabbana. As far as the Torah is concerned, are there set time periods for davening? No, really, you could be mekayim the mitzvah of tefillah 24/7. And that includes not only day and night, it also includes Shabbos and Yontif. There's no time in the 365 days of a calendar year, whether it's day or night, that excludes tefillah. Prayer is an ongoing mitzvah. But here we have a problem. I don't have the Rambam with me, but I have the Nusach HaRambam. The Rambam opens up Hilchos Tefillah, and he writes, Mitzvah Saseh Lispalel Bechol Yom. What do you derive from that Rambam of Bechol Yom? Correct, it's time bound. What time period generates the Mitzvah of Tefillah, says the Rambam? The Yom itself. The day itself engenders a new Mitzvah of Tefillah. That itself makes it a time bound Mitzvah.
Where do you derive it from, though?
It's interesting. I don't know how he sees it in the pasuk. He says, "Shenemar havadetem es Hashem alokeichem bechol levavchem ezu yavodu shebleiv zui tefillah." But how do we know that it's a day, that the day itself is machayev tefillah? Maybe it's an ongoing mitzvah.
He talks about tefillah in that same paragraph. You need to put on tefillah every day, so it's, you need to.
Maybe it makes a hekesh between havadetem and tefillah. It could be. I don't know. What do you say?
When you say day, does that mean day and not night?
No, day means both, 24
it's
hours.
It's really time bound, because the second the day is over, there's next day. So I mean, it's just continuous, it's just like the Torah.
But each day seems to be an individual.
So you're suggesting the following. What was your first name?
Binyamin.
Binyamin is suggesting the following. Let me just reiterate what Binyamin is saying. He's saying that in order to be a time bound mitzvah, it's not enough that time engenders the mitzvah. You need to find a moment in time which is excluded from that mitzvah. So it's true that the day itself engenders the mitzvah of tefillah, that's how the Rambam says it, but yet there's no time period in which you're not mekayim the mitzvah of tefillah. So if you don't exclude, if you don't bump off, you don't X off a certain period of time, right, then it's not zman groma, right? But you know, that's what you're arguing.
There's 30 minutes. 12, 30.
Not as far as tefillah d'oraisa is concerned. The Rabbanon introduced Zmani at tefillah, and therefore any half hour period that you come up with, which is excluded from tefillah, that's only the Rabbanon, because it doesn't fit into any of the three tefillahs. So let's see what the Gemara says about tefillin. Yeah.
When we say that, and just a side point, are we saying that are women obligated in Limudat Torah, men?
Limudat Torah, I think not, although Limudat Torah is not a time-bound mitzvah.
Right, so I was going to say, but
what, why are women excluded from the mitzvah, the chiyuv of Talmud Torah? Do you know that? I'll give you a hint. It starts with the word Vashinantam, and who knows what the next word is? Livanecha. And what does Livanecha exclude? V'lo l'bnosecha. So there are a couple of mitzvahs which are not time-bound, and yet women are exempt from those mitzvahs. A prime example would be Piri of Arivia, for example, which is not a time-bound mitzvah, and yet women are exempt under the law of Hukash le'kibush. The Torah says v'kivshua, ein dakat shel noshim lichbosh. Women are exempt from the mitzvah Mulchama, which is not a time-bound mitzvah. There are a number of mitzvahs which exempt women, even though they're not time-bound.
Why do we have women?
In fact, a woman is not obligated to see to it that her son is circumcised. And the question is that a time-bound mitzvah? The Gemara assumes it's not a time-bound mitzvah. This is a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara says that the reason why a mother is not obligated to see to it that her son is circumcised is because of the pasuk in which Hashem addresses Avram Avinu and says to Avram that he has to circumcise Yitzchak. Oso velo osa, the Gemara says that it's an obligation incumbent upon him and not on her.
Never mind.
Okay. So the point is, I want to get back to our main discussion here, and that is why are women obligated in tefillah. But the point is that there are many mitzvahs which women are exempt from, despite the fact that there are ongoing mitzvahs like Talmud Torah, because of a special yalfusa, a special limud that exempts women. So the Gemara asks why women are obligated in tefillah, and the Gemara gives a two-word answer. The Gemara says, "Derachme ninhu." Does anybody have any idea what tefillah rachme ninhu is? It's a very famous Gemara. Rachme, but what does it sound like to you? It's an Aramaic conjugation of a Hebrew word, of a Lashon Kodesh.
Rachamim.
What's rachamim?
Merciful,
compassion. We ask God for what? For mercy, for compassion. Women, no less than men, are included in the need to ask Almighty God for compassion on an ongoing basis.
I just think of compassion. Why rachamim?
Say it again?
Why rachamim specifically?
As opposed to what? Chesed or so? I don't know. There are probably deeper meanings to your question, to the answer to your question. Rashi on the Mishnah says, v'chayovim v'tfilah, why are women obligated in tefillah? Later on, the Mishnah mentions that women are obligated in mezuzah. Why are women obligated in mezuzah? That's simple. It's not what? It's not time bound. You know, there's no time element to mezuzah.
Well, you need to check every 7 years or whatever.
No, I'm saying, but is there any moment in time that I'm not chayiv in mezuzah? I mean, again, there may be conditions to engender the chiyuv, but once those conditions are existing, I'm chayiv in mezuzah. Well, birkas hamazon, obviously, it depends if I ate or not. But it doesn't matter whether I ate. I could wake up in the middle of the morning, in the middle of the night, and I could eat a meal. I'm chayiv in birkas hamazon. What about tefillah? So Rashi says tefillah rachmehi. This is interesting. Tefillah rachmehi. In other words, there's no reason to exclude women from tefillah because of the need for rachmanus. So the Gemara says pshita. So then why did the Mishnah need to tell me that women are obligated in tefillah? And the Gemara consistently is going to look for a chiddush in every case in the Mishnah. Ma'u detema. Hoil v'ksiv bei erev avoka v'tzarayim. Pasuk in Tehillim, referring to prayer, says evening, morning, and afternoon. Havilei kemitzas seishas man gromadami kamash balon. Now, many Rishonim are going to tell us that it's true that tefillah needs erev, voker, and tzarayim, but that's only on what level? Only derabbanan. On a deraisa level, there's no limitation. As far as mitzvah's tefillah deraisa is concerned, it's 24/7, it's an ongoing, continuous mitzvah, and therefore women are included. But you might have thought, according to this school of thinking, that once the Rabbanan impose these limitations of time periods, it converts, it transforms the mitzvah into a time-bound mitzvah. Kamashma, no, it's not a time-bound mitzvah. So then, when and what is the mitzvah of tefillah incumbent upon women? When do women have to pray then, according to this logic? If the Rabbanan are making the mitzvah into a time-bound mitzvah, then what does the Mishnah mean when it says that women are obligated in tefillah? Even the Rabbanan? Well, let's go back to the Doraisa. Again, before the Rabbanan came along and insisted on separate time periods, what was the nature of tefillah? It was continuous, and therefore women are obligated. They're included in the mitzvah. Now that the Rabbanan changed the mitzvah, do we now uproot the Chiyuv Doraisa?
So now just chayiv once in the whole day.
Correct, the chayiv once in the whole day. So that's one way of learning this Gemara. The other way of learning this Gemara is no. The Rabbanan changed the nature of the mitzvah of tefillah, and therefore, if not for the Kabashmal of that Mishnah, women would be pturos. It's Zman Groma. Once the Rabbanan did what they did, they have altered the nature of the mitzvah, making it into a time-bound mitzvah. Women are now exempt. Kamashmal in the Mishnah tells me, no, women have the same obligation, identical to men, and they're obligated to daven how many times a day? Three times a day. And this is going to be a major controversy amongst the Rishonim, the Poskim. So let's go over it one more time. One way of learning it is that you might have thought Erev Avokat Tzarayim, the Rabbanan now re-altered and restructured the mitzvah of tefillah, and now the new mitzvah of tefillah that emerges is a time-bound mitzvah. Women are completely exempt. Kamashma, no. Even if the Rabbanan introduced the time element, but we can still go back to the what? The pre-Dirabbanan tefillah, that means the Doraisa tefillah.
Two separate mitzvahs then.
And it's two separate mitzvahs. The mitzvah tefillah Doraisa, which is any time during the day, women are obligated to it. The mitzvah tefillah Dirabbanan, once Dirabbanan did what they did, could never be imposed upon women because it's a time-bound mitzvah. The other approach is to say, no. Mal detem, I would think, that after the Rabbanan transformed the mitzvah, and defined it, circumscribed it into limited periods of time, therefore now it's a Zman Grom, women are exempt, Kamashma, no, the Rabbanan never meant to exclude women from the original Chiyuv, and when they restructured Tefillah, they required women like men to daven, and why? Because Tefillah Rachmeinu. So again, the first chapter is that Tefillah Rachmeinu means only on a Doraisa level of Chayiv, because of the Rachmeinu, it's compassion, they need the compassion. The other approach is to say, no, even after the Rabbanan imposed the time limitations of tefillah requiring three different machayim. The day is now made up of three parts, each part of which generates a chiyuv tefillah. You might have thought that women are excluded because it's time bound. Kamashma, no, rachmeinu. The Rabbanan, when they instituted their triple nature of chiyuv, the tripod chiyuv, they included women in that obligation. And the nafkamina is going to be awesome. Do women have to daven once a day or thrice a day? Right. And my Rebbe was of the opinion, and there were those who came way before him, that women have to daven three times a day. But here I want to share with you a chiddush from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and it's written up here in this book that just came out now from my friend Rabbi Reichman, and I got a hold of it just a few days ago, and I'm really enjoying it. It's like candy for me. He raises the question, since the Rambam says mitzvah seilus pal b'chol yom, it means that the Yom is Mechayev, the mitzvah of tefillah. Why then does the Rambam say that women are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah based on the mission that we saw in Daf Chaf? Once you say that the Yom is the Mechayev, then it becomes a mitzvah say, Shazman Groma. So Binyamin, Rabbeinu is not working with your premise. He's working with the premise that if the day itself engenders the mitzvah, even if it's ongoing, there's never Shas Ptur, but nevertheless, there's a shah machayemis that makes it into zman groma.
But isn't the whole reason of misasay shas zman groma they're patur from that because, like, they wouldn't have time or whatever, like, because they have to, like, care for the children or whatever. But like they wouldn't here. It's an ongoing thing. It's not like there's a time where they can't do it. You know, so I don't understand why it would still apply.
Well, you know, you're raising a very interesting question about the way halacha works. Meaning, does halacha lend itself to these kind of interpretations? And can we say, well, we know why the Torah said that men are obligated in time, and if women are not, and then based on our logic, we're going to make distinctions and say, you know. For example, you're pointing out that women have to take care of the children. What about a woman who doesn't take care of children? Right? Because she's not married, she's married, she has no children, her children are all far away. I mean, there are a million scenarios. So whenever we give an explanation for a halacha or any sort of principle in halacha, we have to be very, very careful.
Like, do we learn the halacha from the raya?
No. No, we know the Gemara has derivations in Masechet Kedushin that teach us that women are exempt from Zman Grum. There's a number of different derivations. And to say that we... By the way, this explanation that you gave is very famous in the name of Avudraham. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He lived in the 1300s. So you know, it's going back 7 centuries ago. He says it a little differently than you. He says it's not that women are raising the children, but that women are Meshubados Lebaaleihem. This is not going to fly in today's society, but basically what he's saying is that a woman's primary obligation is to her husband, and therefore she doesn't have time for these, you know, moments of mitzvah, you know, that'll take her out of her. You follow? But you could expand it for sure that the, you know, it's all about child rearing and so forth and so on, but to then go ahead and say, well, you know, our women are different, or maybe in tefillah, you know, they'll find the time and so forth and so on, I don't know that we want to take that approach. Rav Moshe has a very interesting answer to this question. In fact, he has two different answers to this question. His first goes the following. He says that the Rambam doesn't mean that every day is a separate, independent chiyuv tefillah. The Gemara says, "Halavai shiyispalel adam kol hayom kulo." This is the Gemara in Brachas Daf Chaf Aleph, one blot later than this mission that we did. Halavai, what does halavai mean? It should only be. This would be the ideal. She's Paul Adam Kol Yom Kulo, meaning ongoing tefillah. When the Rambam says that B'chol Yom V'Yom, he doesn't mean to say that there's a new chiyuv every day. The chiyuv, rather, is constant. And the Rabbanan require you, or maybe even the Torah requires you, that you have to fulfill that chiyuv on an ongoing basis. It's very interesting. You know that the Rambam divides up his Mishnah Torah into how many books?
14.
And what does he do before he starts each book?
Hakdama.
I don't know if he has Hakdama. I never saw Hakdama, but he has something sort of like Hakdama, I guess you'd say. What does he have before each one of the books of the Rambam? He has a pasuk. And he never tells you exactly, he never spells out for you. You have to rack your brains to figure out the connection between the Pasuk and that Sefer, that book of the Rambam. So we're in the book of Ava, which means Havas Hashem, the love for God. And the Rambam starts that with the Pasuk of Ma Hafti Sarasecha, Kol Hayom Hisichasi. It's very interesting. The word Ava appears in that Pasuk, and that's certainly the reason why the Rambam invokes that Pasuk as an introduction to Sefer Ava. But yet the subject of that Ava is what? Is the Torah. Ava's HaTorah. And apparently the Rambam wants to derive something from this Pasuk, the paradigm of Ava's HaTorah, that can have an impact on Hilchus Tefillah, on the way we should approach davening. What chiddush about Ava do you see in this pasuk? What is David HaMelech declaring when he says, Ma hafti sorasecha, kol hayom hisichasi?
Ideally, we should always be learning Torah.
Correct. That the ideal is we should be constantly learning Torah. If you're in love with someone, you're constantly thinking about that person. Can you imagine if you get engaged to a girl, you're thinking of marriage is around the corner, and you're sitting in a class, and all of a sudden, the professor, or Lahavdil, your Rebbe, calls on you, expecting you an answer, and you're caught unawares, because you know where your brain is? You're thinking about this woman that you love. And that's what Shir HaShirim is all about. It's all about our love for Hashem. And it's a meshugadikin. It's what we call lovesick. So kol hayom hisichasi. Basically, that's what Rav Moshe is learning here in terms of the mitzvah of tefillah. If tefillah represents ava, then that ava has to be perpetual and constant. So there's no moment in which I'm not involved in tefillah. And that's what the Rambam means when he says b'chol yom. B'chol yom means all the time. Not on any specific day or on each specific day. But all the time. It's kol hayom hisichasi. And therefore, it's a mitzvah say She'ein hazman gromo. Hamachayv lispal eino toli bizman shel yom. Demechayv tmidi. What does the word tmidi mean? Tamid?
Wait, so it is hazman gromo.
That's what he's saying.
Always. He said ein.
Eino toli bizman di yom. It's not toli in the day.
Right.
But rather, hamachayv tmidi hu. It's an ongoing, perpetual chiyuv. And therefore, he says, tefillah eino mitzvah seishas man grom.
But I would think that if it's like kal v'chomer, if it's always, every single moment, I guess it goes to what your definition of zman asesh zman grom. Like, what is that? Because I would think that
a constant mitzvah is obligatory upon men and women alike. Okay. Now Rav Moshe wants to say, no. Let's go back to our original premise. I have another answer. Einachinami, the yom itself is machayv. Says Rav Moshe in his second answer, let's not redefine tefillah, let's redefine mitzvah saseh shazman grom. What if you have a mitzvah, the kiyum of that mitzvah, the implementation of that mitzvah, could be at any moment whatsoever. And why? Why is the kiyum of mitzvah possible at any moment? So Rav Moshe coins a brand new phrase here, and I want you to learn this phrase. I was fascinated by this. He says, there's something called a kium mitzvahs avoda shebelev. Obviously, this phrase avoda shebelev is borrowed from which pasuk?
Shema.
V'ahavta seshem alkecha, right? B'chol avavcha, ezi avoda shebelev. Avadata seshem shalkechem, b'chol avavchem, ezi avoda shebelev, zui tefila. Says Rav Moshe, the kiyum, the essence of a kiyum, of fulfillment of mitzvahs avodah shebelev, is not dependent upon time. That's what the Gemara means when it says that tefillah rachmei ninu. Rachmei ninu means that's the kiyum of avodah shebelev. It's very similar to what we wanted to say about Kriyat Shema. Do you remember we broke up Kriyat Shema into two different aspects?
Yeah.
There was the Kriya itself as a technical, mechanical act. And that we said is time bound. But then is the kiyum of what? Kabbalah, so Baal HaShemayim. That's Avodah Shebelev. Avodah Shebelev is never limited in time. Because it's an overriding, all-encompassing Ava relationship that we have with Ribbono Shel Olam. That commitment that doesn't, you know, you can't put it in a box and limit it from one time to the other. It's all-encompassing. It's ongoing. It's perpetual. So then, according to Rav Moshe, once you take tefillah, and you place it into that kiyum of avodah shebelev, then by definition you can't limit it in time. And if it's perpetual, if it's ongoing, then it's a mitzvah she'ein hazman grama. True, there's a chiyuv on a daily basis, and the day itself engenders a chiyuv. But the kiyum mitzvah, meaning the essence of the mitzvah and its fulfillment, is rachmei ninu, is avodah shebelev. And therefore the Rambam holds that women are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah, and it's not considered zman groma, even though, despite the fact that the mechayev of tefillah depends upon time, and every day sets up a chiyuv, nevertheless, since we look at not the chiyuv mitzvah, rather the kiyum mitzvah. And what's the kiyum mitzvah? Avodah shebelev. The kiyum mitzvah of avodah shebelev is not time-bound.
If you're saying it's just interesting, tavana. How can we have a mitzvah that's entirely based on kavanah? How could you have a mitzvah that the mitzvah is to have a certain emotional feeling?
Well, let me ask you this. If you hold mitzvah strichas kavanah, I'm not sure that we paskin like that. I'm almost convinced we paskin mitzvah ain strichas kavanah. But let's say, according to that man, the Omer in the Gemara, the mitzvah strichas kavanah, does that introduce an element into the mitzvah of avodah shebelev? Maybe every single mitzvah is a particular form or expression of avodah shebelev, and in that context, it requires kavanah. But that's not the essence of the mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah is the maisa mitzvah, it's the mitzvah act. You see, that's why in tefillah is very different than kriyat shema. Let's say, for example, in kriyat shema, according to Rav Moshe, you can ask the question: well, if tefillah is incumbent upon women identically to men because it's a kiyum avodah shebelev, why don't we apply the same logic of Ramosha to Kriyat Shema? I mean, Kriyat Shema is also, as we said, avodah shebelev, kabbalah sol malchus shemayim, so women should be obligated. Maybe they are obligated, I don't know. Or you could say no. Kriyat Shema is different than tefillah. Kriyat Shema has a Maisa Mitzvah, which is a mechanical, as we said, an act of recitation. We read the Parshas of Kriyat Shema. In that sense, it's like, what should I say, any Kriya. You know, Kriya of Parshas Zohar, or Kriya of Parshas Poro, or Kriya Samigila and Purim. These are all mitzvahs of Kriya. And that's the Maisa Mitzvah. Kriya Halel. So once we have a Maisa Mitzvah that's well defined, we have to analyze that Maisa Mitzvah and determine whether it's Zman Gromo, it's time bound, or it's not time bound. And since Kriya Shema and the Maisa Kriya of three Parshas is limited in time, women are exempt. But in Tefillah, Tefillah doesn't have a Maisa Mitzvah. The Maisa Mitzvah of Tefillah is the Avodah Shebelev. There's nothing that separates itself from Tefillah itself. So Tefillah, by definition, becomes Avodah Shebelev. In the case of Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana, to answer your question, I would say that true, the Kavana that's required according to that Mandi Omar does reflect the Avodah Shebelev element, but nevertheless, since there's a Maisa Mitzvah, and if that Maisa Mitzvah, whether it be Shofar, whether it be Lulav, whether it be Matzah, is limited in time, that itself makes it a Mitzvah Seishas Man Grom. Now the Mechaber and Or Chaim Siman Kuvav Paskins like the Rambam, that women are obligated in Tefillah, and it's not a Mitzvah Seishas Man Grom. And the Magen Avraham says the following. He says, Svirle la Rambam and the Mechaber, the Tefillah he mitzah say d'oraisa, ach midoraisa dai b'pam achas b'yom. So the Magen Avraham says that this mitzah d'oraisa that's incumbent upon women, it's sufficient if they daven once a day, and not only that, b'chol nusach sheyirtzu. They can daven in any way they want. They don't have to recite the Shmon Esrei that men are obligated to recite.
What do you mean, a different Shmon Esrei?
He says, "Lachein nagu rov nashe she'ein mispalalin, ein mispalos bitmidus." They don't daven three times a day. Ela omrim miyad baboker. They wake up after nitzil yadayim, and they recite Eza Bakosha. They just ask Hashem for something. Many women will recite Moda Ani, and then Elokein Itzar, and they will say Asher Yotzar, and then they'll say Birchas Hashachar, and that's it. That's all they get to, and that's enough. So the Rav says that his grandfather Reb Chaim argued that according to the Rambam, women are obligated in tefillah just like men. The Rambam doesn't have this whole shtickel Torah that you find in the Magen Avraham, that women are different in the nature of that tefillah than men. Once the Rambam has incorporated women into the midst of tefillah, then all the lachas of tefillah and all the obligations therein, in that section called Hilchos Tefillah, incorporate both men and women. So therefore, Reb Chaim was of the conclusion, based on the Rambam, that Noshim Chayavos B'Tfilah Shmon Esrei. It's not enough, Eza Bakosha Shehi. You know, they just say to God, oh, you know, I hope I pass the test today. That's not enough. They must recite the structured and formulated Shmon Esrei.
The Mishnah says that they have to say, so of course they
do. No, the Mishnah says the Chayavos in Tfilah. The Magen Avraham says Tfilah means Eza Bakosha. And it's once a day, and they just ask Hashem for whatever they ask for. There's no structure. Comes along Reb Chaim, and he says, no, the Rambam incorporates women into Hilchos Tefillah, and makes no distinction between the two. This is what we call, my friends, Stimas Lashon HaRambam. You know, if the Rambam doesn't qualify, then it's unqualified. And therefore, when the Rambam opens up Hilchos Tefillah and he defines the parameters of the Chiyuv Tefillah, he says, Chiyuv mitzvah zu kachu, shehei odom mischanein umispal b'chol yom. And now, this Tefillah breaks up into three different parts. Number one, who remembers the first part of Tefillah? Shevach?
Yeah.
Shevach, right? Magid Shvach HaShalom Kodesh Baruch Hu, which in Shmon Esrei is the first what?
Brachos.
The first three brachos. Brachos. Then the Akach Shoel Tzrachov. How many brachos do we have then?
13.
Correct. 13. They used to have 12, and then they added a 13.
Shevach
Bakosh. Right. Shevach Bakosh. Vachach. Acharkach. He says, No sein hodoyel Hashem al atova sheshpia lo kol echad viechad.
Hadas from Modim.
Say it again.
Hodas
from Modim. Right. The three brachos at the end.
That's what I say.
Right, right. So yeah, I'm sorry, I thought you meant the Sima
subject. At least, I don't know, that's Hodaya. Hodaya, when it's in Ritzay and Sim Shalom. It seems more like a bakasha, those brachos.
Yeah, there are bakashas that are integrated into Simshon. You're right. That's an excellent question. Bli Neder will try to find an answer. But one thing is clear, the Rambam has tefillah defined into three elements, and all three elements are necessary. And without the three elements of Shevach, Bakasha, and Odoya, you're not Makayim the Mitzvah Tefillah Doraisa. Therefore, Rav Chaim was of the conclusion that just because a woman wakes up in the morning and she recites Moda Ani, right? Moda Ani, it's just... What are the three elements do you find in Moda Ani?
Odah.
Only Odah. That's all you got. So she's not, according to Rav Chaim, has not fulfilled her mitzvah of what? Of Tefillah, because she has no Shevach and she has no Bakasha.
She said Melech Chai V'Kayam. Is that considered Shevach or...
I don't know. Maybe. But where's Bakasha? So Magen Avraham says she needs to be Mavakish something, but that's enough. But he's excluding the requirement of Shevach and Odoya. So therefore, Chaim insists that from the Stimas Lashon HaRama we could derive that women have the same obligation as men in Tefillah. And that goes back to our original chakira that we started the shiur with today, and that is what is the Gemara's kamashmal? What is the Mishnah telling me? This erev okav tzarayim, which clearly, at least on a derabbanan level, superimposes a time structure to tefillah, and yet kamashmal women are obligated. So what does it mean? Women are obligated in the doraisa. That's the way Menachem Avraham understands it, and therefore one tefillah a day is enough. Or women. Now, even after the Drabbanan, are included in the entire kit and caboodle, and every requirement of tefillah applies to women as well. And therefore, she has to daven three times a day, and it's got to be Shmon Esrei. He writes, V'chein nokar Shagas Aryeh. Do you heard of the Shagas Aryeh? The Shagas Aryeh paskins in Sof Siman Yud Beis that a woman has to recite Shmon Esrei, not only once, not only twice, but three times a day. So we've got really two schools of thought. Most women, I think, paskin like the Magen Avraham. They rely on that kula. You know, one bakush, that's the easy way out. But if you want to be a real super duper, then you might want to take into consideration that no less of a personality than the Shagas Aryeh, and also in this case, Reb Chaim Brisker, they all paskin that women have the whole chiyuv. Everything.
Isn't Shevach Ode Vakasha, isn't that just... Isn't that Darabonin? Isn't that the Hanshah Gansar when they institute Tefillah?
No, that's derived from Sukkim.
So it's derived from Sukkim.
The actual formula is instituted and authored by the Hanshah Gansar Gadol, but the structure itself. What do you say?
We said that was a Mitzvah Seisha Zman Gerah. So how do you fit that in?
Well, again, it all depends how you learn the Kamashma. The Mishnah says women are obligated in Tefillah. In the Havamina, without the Mishnah, we would have said that since you have this tripod structure, which is time band, women are exempt. Now that you have the Kamashmon, do we now take women and put them back into the pot, into the original chiyuv as we know it today of tefillah? Now, what about kiddush? Amar Rav Ada Bar Rava, Noshim Chayavos beKiddush Hayom Dvar Torah, which is an explicit riot to the Rambam Pshita that kiddush is a mitzvah doraisa to be counted in Taryag, and Rav Ada Bar Rava includes women in that chiyuv. So what's the Gemara immediately going to ask? V'amai mitzasei shazman gromahu v'chol mitzasei shazman gromahu nosh p'tus amar abaye mida rabbonon. So Rabbonon instituted a new chiyuv of kiddush on women. Amalei Rava, how can you say such a thing? Abai v'ad dvar Torah ko amar Rav Ada Bar Rava said noshim chayovis b'kiddush hayom dvar Torah. El Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Zachar v'Shamar. Who remembers where it says Zachar and where it says Shamar? What do you say?
Yitro.
Correct. Zachar is in Yitro, and Shamar is where? In Va'es Chana. Right? There are two Eser Sad Dibur. That's what we say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said both Zachar and Shamar b'dibur Echad. So Rava says, Amar Kra, Zachar v'Shamar. Zachar refers to Kiddush, and Shamar refers to the Iser Malacha, called she yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'schira, who's ever included in Shmira, in observing the Shabbos and abstaining from the 39 categories of labor, yeshno b'schira is included in Kiddush. Hani Nashi, these women, ho avisnu b'shmira, Isnahu bizchira. So now the question is, can a woman recite Kiddush on behalf of a man? What would be the simple, straightforward answer to that question?
Same thing, so yeah.
No, I'm saying if you just had the Gemara, I mean, now you want to say Svaris, but
they have the same chiyuv, so why not?
No, if the Rabbanan instituted it, just for, no, they said they instituted it for women also. I'm confused now.
Well, they're
now you're saying that the women don't have the same level of chiyuv as the men. I mean, if the women are derived, again, you're talking about Dvar Torah, so women are obligated to be not Torah in Kiddush, and it's based on Zoch B'Sham Koshiyeshna B'Shmiriyeshna B'Schira. Why should we say that women are any different than men? They have a low level chiyuv. So the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Ayin Aleph says, Noshim chayovas bekiddush, umotzios es hanoshim hol v'chayovas min haTorah kamosam. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, is not willing to differentiate between men and women as far as kiddush is concerned, and that's based on the Torah in the same Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, Echad hanoshim v'noshim chayovim bekiddush hayom. Comes along the Bach, and he says what you said. He says, just 1 second. He says, Gabi Megillah. This is interesting. Can a woman read Megillah for a man? Kosva Shulchanar Siman Tuf Reish Pei Tes Yesh Omrim Shenoshim Einon Motzio Ses Hanoshim. A woman cannot read Megillah Esther on behalf of a man. And that's based on whose sheet? Anybody know? The famous sheet that Tosus quotes at the beginning of Masechet Megillah. The Bahag. What does Bahag stand for? Baal Halachas Gedolos. The Baal Halachas Gedolos says that women cannot read Megillah for men. Why? And that's, we're machmir for that sheet because women are obligated in Shmias HaMegillah, but not in Kriyas HaMegillah. So man has a double chiyuv. He's got to read the Megillah and hear the Megillah. Women only have a chiyuv to hear the Megillah. And therefore, says the Bach, Niral Anias Daiti, Ikar Lahachmir B'Kiddush K'mo B'Megillah, She'ein HaNosh Motzinas HaNosh B'Kiddush, V'chein Ra'isi Shekosav Marshal. The Marshal is already going back almost 5 centuries. So the Bach, based on his equation between Megillah and what? Megillah and Kiddush, says just like the Bahag postulates that women in Megillah have a lower level of chiyuv. It's not identical to men, they can't be motzi the men, because yotze motzi is only if we both share the same chiyuv. So too, we should apply the same logic to Kiddush, and therefore a woman cannot be motzi a man in Kiddush. And based on this Marshal, the Bach says that we don't go like the Shulchan Aruch, who says that women can recite Kiddush for men. Well, and the Taz, you know, does anybody know how the Taz was related to the Bach?
Grandson.
Son-in-law, right. The Taz was married to the Bach's daughter. Actually, she died and then...
So one
and then,
he, she has
and then
one
the Taz
one
wanted the Taz wanted to marry the Bach's other daughter. That's his wife's sister. But that's a whole story. You'll ask me another time if you're interested. It's a whole story. All right, we have 2 minutes left. I just want to finish up with the Taz. The Taz says that even though the Mechaber Paskins in Tuf Reish Pei Tes, like the Bahag, that women cannot be motzi men in Megillah, nevertheless, with regard to Kiddush, Bevadai, even L'chatchila, they could be motzi men in Kiddush. So what's the difference? Taz is reading two Shulchan Aruchs. He reads the Shulchan Aruch and Megillah Tuf Reish Pei Tes, and he comes to the conclusion that women cannot be motzi men in Megillah. He reads the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos Reish Ayin Aleph, which says explicitly that women can be motzi men in Kiddush, and he says there's no stira, but he doesn't tell us why there's no stira.
Maybe because Megillah is derabban, it's not derisa.
I would have said just the opposite, that maybe we should be more machmir in a derisa than a derabban. What's the svara?
Right. Anyway,
so I just want to share with you in the next 2 minutes that we have, and then I'll let you go, the Chiddush of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says, Ein ledamos Megillah leKiddush. We should not equate the two. Why? He says that Shani Kriyas HaMegillah, she is sold kiyuma, the essence of its mitzvah is a kiyum of Pirsum HaNes. Right? So women, although it's a time-bound mitzvah, but they have one important element to this mitzvah, which is going to generate a chiyuv. And what element of the mitzvah Megillah do they have? They have pirsum hanes. They're included on the pirsum hanes. So insofar as they're included in pirsum hanes, then we include women in the chiyuv. Again, at least to hear the Megillah, that's pirsum hanes.
How is hearing a pirsum hanes?
Because of the hearing represents not the mechanical act of reading, but the comprehension of the Megillah. So in fact, the mission in the third parak says that you can... I hope you didn't break that. Yes. Okay. The Mishnah says that you can read the Megillah in any language. Did you know that?
Yeah.
If, let's say, you don't understand the Lush Kodesh, you understand French, you can read the Megillah in French. Because what's the Ikar Mitzvah?
Second parak.
I'm talking about Jews, because pirsum hanes means to understand the whole miracle. So I want to understand the Megillah. And women, insofar as they're part of the Nes, they also have to understand the miracle through the Kriya. But the act of Kriya, that's a technical, mechanical Maisa Mitzvah that's time bound, and women are exempt.
It's like shofar?
Fish.
You need to hear it,
I don't know. Let's just finish this far, and then we'll get back to shofar if we have time. I don't want to keep you from lunch.
Yeah,
so let's just see what he says here. He says in the case of Kiddush, there's no svar of afhein hoyu, but also a nes in Kiddush. But rather, the mitzvah of Kiddush is to recite Kiddush. And Rav, as we saw in Brachas Chaf Am Beis, derives from the Hekesh between Zohar and Shomer, that the mitzvah of Kiddush is governed not only upon the men, but also upon the women, because Kol Sheyeshno B'Shmir Yeshno B'Schira. So there's no clue, there's no even a hair's breadth of a svara to differentiate between men and women. When you have the mechanical act, and on top of that you have pirsum hanes, so you could say men, because it's a time-bound mitzvah, they are included in the mechanical act. Women only have the other element of pirsum hanes. That distinction makes sense. So women are chayiv in shmiah, men have an additional chayiv of kriya, and therefore women can't read on behalf of men. That's a Megillah. But in the case of Kiddush, the mitzvah begins and ends with the recitation of Kiddush. And if everyone, both men and women, are obligated in Kiddush because of the hekesh between Shomer and Zohar, therefore there's no reason to make even any distinction whatsoever between men and women. So just to summarize, we have here two shittas as to whether women can recite Kiddush on behalf of men. According to the shita of the Bach, and he claims he stands on the shoulders of the Marshal who came before him, women did not have the identical chiyuv as men in Kiddush, because at the end of the day, Kiddush still remains a mitzvah seishas man grava. We can include women, but not in the original chiyuv. So they don't share the same chiyuv, and it's identical to the case of Megillah according to the Bahag. The second shita is the shita of the Taz, which is basically the shita of the Machaber and Shulchan Aruch. Women cannot be motzi men in Megillah, but they can be motzi men in Kiddush. And Rav Moshe explains why Megillah should not be equated to Kiddush. Okay, Rav Osai?
Oh, yeah.
We covered a lot. Are there any issues that you'd want to discuss if I would ever come by another time?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Any questions that come to you? Because maybe I would prepare, like even a philosophical question or something.
Ooh,
but give me one or two questions, that even if you have anything, you know, shoot from the hip if you have anything on your mind. I'm not going to answer it now, but...
I'll bring this one back.
Thank you.
I just have a quick question about what you said. Since someone said that it was the Sheva Kodiyah and Bakasha, that women have to daven three Shemona Esrei a day because of that, the three aspects.
Whose is this, by the way?
Yeah. Okay. But then how would that... But isn't Marv or Shus anyway that just men took upon
right, them? So some say that women have the identical Chiyuv as men as far as Tefillah is concerned, based on this sugi that we learned today, but the exception is Marv. Why? Because Tefillas Arvis Rishus, and it was only a matter of our accepting upon ourselves Tefillas Arvis as a chova, but only the men folk accepted. The women never actually were included in that Kabbalah. Others say that once there's a Kabbalah, that Kabbalah are the representatives, are the Kabbalah itself is implemented by the representative, or the representatives of the entire Tzibur of Knesset, so both on behalf of men and women. So since women really have the same identical chiyuv as men in Tefillah, therefore they should daven even Ma'ariv. And you'll see today there it's becoming more and more widespread that pious women are praying Ma'ariv, not just Shacharis and Mincha. But almost the old days that I knew from my mother and my bubby and all that, that, you know, women used to read Berachas HaShachar and that's it. That mode is going out of style completely. I mean, women today almost, it's like spreading like wildfire, are accepting upon themselves to daven very, very seriously. And you'll see even the Beis Yaakov schools, they'll organize time for the girls to go daven. It's not just that the women are going out to the Beis HaKvara, you know, to the cemeteries of the Gdolim, you know, up to north, you know, to Amuka and all these places, and, you know, where the Arizal said these are places that are dedicated. Any questions that, beyond the discussion that we had today, you know, something about the significance of learning or Torah Shabbosav, Torah Shabbal Peh, maybe dedication, you know, any questions that you have, but just, if you don't mind, I'd appreciate if you let me know before it, and then we could organize the time
pass
period.
Pass it on, I'm not sure.
Okay, man.
Okay, thanks. Thank you so much.
But wait, what about? Sorry, it's before you said Shadrach Bakasha Hodaya. How does that come out 3 times a day? Why isn't that just one?